minutes. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is the Quality News Network. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee approved a non-binding resolution to oppose the president's troop surge in Iraq today as, quote, not in the national interest. They began the debate earlier today. The Democrats, with Republican Senator Chuck Hagel, voted 12-9 to support the unusual wartime repudiation of the president. The measure will be taken up by the full Senate next week. The House Democrats are expected to vote after the Senate. Democratic Senator Joseph Biden, the chairman of the committee, viewed the legislation as, quote, an attempt to save the president from making a significant mistake, unquote. President Bush delivered his State of the Union speech last night before the new Democratic majority Congress. He asked for more time for his new policy of a troop surge in Iraq to work, with a plea to, quote, give it a chance. Newly elected Senator James Webb of Virginia delivered the Democratic response. He said the president took the country into war recklessly. Yesterday, two U.S. Marines were killed in a Sunni-dominated neighborhood in Baghdad during a heavy battle with insurgent gunmen. A U.S. soldier was also killed today in Iraq. The country's defense ministry says in the joint U.S.-Iraqi action, as many as 30 militants were killed. For the second day, there were clashes between pro- and anti-government factions in Lebanon. Heaviest fighting today was in Tripoli in northern Lebanon. The U.S. Air Force launched another airstrike against suspected terrorists in Somalia. That's according to U.S. defense officials. It is unclear if the intended targets were hit. The London Daily Telegraph reports North Korea is sharing information about its nuclear weapons program with the Iranian military. The paper says Pyongyang may help Tehran conduct future nuclear missile tests, perhaps as early as the end of 2007. Israeli President Moshe Katsav has asked for a temporary leave of absence. He faces rape and abuse of power charges. He's been under pressure to resign, including a call today from Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. Massachusetts Senator John Kerry will not seek the 2008 Democratic presidential nomination. He will instead seek a fifth term in the Senate and focus on organizing opposition to the war in Iraq. Watergate figure E. Howard Hunt has died at the age of 88 in Miami. You're listening to the Quality News Network. A look at science and business news is next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The Budapest Zoo reports the first rhino in the world conceived by artificial insemination was born yesterday. The female baby weighs 128 pounds and has not been named yet. The World Economic Forum at Davos, Switzerland this week will focus on climate change and the troubles in the Middle East. The prestigious four-day event will host 2,400 of the world's wealthiest and most powerful people. Today, the Senate rejected the minimum wage bill passed by the House because lawmakers want to include additional tax cuts for restaurants and other businesses. State Farm has settled a lawsuit filed by 640 homeowners after Hurricane Katrina. The insurer will pay those claims worth hundreds of millions of dollars. China says within 2 years it'll have the largest number of Internet users in the world, beating out the U.S., which now holds the title. Currently, 210 of America's 300 million people are online, while 137 million Chinese regularly used the Internet last year. The world's largest fast food chain, McDonald's, reports it had a strong fourth quarter profit, which more than doubled. It credits the spinoff of its burrito chain, Chipotle, and increased European sales. Light sweet crude oil at $55.37 a barrel at today's close of Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 87 points at 12,621. NASDAQ up 35. S&P 500 up 12. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy. Six minutes after the hour, and I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. For a Wednesday morning, afternoon, evening, depending on wherever you may be. It's Wednesday evening here where we are, and of course, being Wednesday evening, you know what that means.
Every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Darn straight. And as a consequence of which, it's prayer meeting night here on Head On. And, there's something that I've liked to do, but I haven't been doing nearly as much. And that, I haven't been talking so much about what goes on here in wild, wonderful West Virginia. Being as how it is prayer meeting night, I thought we'd start with something straight out of the hills and hollers here. Out of the fish wrap here in Beckley, West Virginia. You wouldn't want to call it a newspaper, because must have been a mighty slow day yesterday on the editorial page, the department. Why do I say that? I'll tell you why I say that. Because there are three letters to the editor, one of which is very good. Right government to get our troops home. Tobacco contains many cancer-causing chemicals. Okay, well, so far so good. But then, well, this is, after all, the first little hole in the Bible Belt. So welcome to prayer meeting night. Headline of this letter to the editor from today's Beckley fish wrap: the gender of our God is definitely, sit down all you Wiccans, male. We live in an age when many would like to have God conform to their own specifications, our budding theologian writes. I suppose it is a sign of the times. It is quite disturbing to me when I hear someone refer to God as she or her. The first verse in the Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," King James Version. The Hebrew word for God in this verse is Elohim. The suffix of the Hebrew letters, this is where I love people who barely speak English trying to tell us what Hebrew means. the suffix of the Hebrew letters Yud and Mem on the Hebrew or the on the Hebrew word for power, Eloha, makes the word masculine and plural. In ancient Hebrew, thought plurality could be defined as quality, greatness, or quantity, more than one. Okay, how are we so far? The plurality of the word indicates a greatness of power and majesty that is above all else in existence. God is our Father, not our mother. If God were female, the word for God in the first verse of Genesis would have been Elohavd, as far as I know. Jesus. This word does not exist because the suffix of VT on a Hebrew word makes it feminine and plural in gender. God is a real entity on whom we all depend for our very existence. He is not an abstract concept that is to be manipulated to suit our latest whim and fancy. It doesn't really matter how politically correct we try to be. The gender of our God is definitely male. You ladies got that? Good. Agnes, you paying attention? Good. Jennings Angel, or Angel, or whatever, says that that's how it is, so stop with the goddess and the she's and all of that stuff. Yeah. Right. Because God's a boy. Like I said, slow day in the editorial office of the Beckley Fish Wrap yesterday. No, Agnes, I will not tell them that they're number one in your book, too. But, you know, we've done that. We've got our little religion thing done. And there may be more over the course of the show. I'm not sure. It all depends on just how I feel. Well, you know, there's other stuff. What other stuff, you ask? Well, I could have started the program by saying, well, that wasn't nice, now that it's over. I mean, that State of the Union speech was like an early Mike Tyson fight. There was more talk about the speech than there was speech. And as my father is fond of saying, that man can talk more and say less than any human being on the face of the earth. He was real proud of himself. You could tell that, though, couldn't you? He was real proud of himself for how he said, Madam Speaker. Don't you know he spent about 3 days? That's Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker. I will not say Mr. Speaker. Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker. To Madam Speaker. Wait a minute. What's the letter say? The gender of our God is definitely male. Well, if that was the case, how would Nancy Pelosi have ever gotten to be Speaker of the House? I honestly don't know. But there was so much palaver. The business, and you know, maybe you who aren't so mathematically challenged as I am, can explain to me how what it means that we're going to cut. Not that I'm criticizing it. I just don't think he has the mental wherewithal to actually comprehend what he said. What does he mean when he says we're going to cut our gas consumption, our fuel consumption, by 20% over the next 10 years? What does that mean? Does that mean that our fuel consumption rate as it currently stands will be reduced by 20% and thus will be 20% less than what it was last night 10 years from now? Or does that 20% take in the exponential rise in fuel usage, in which case there's no cut in usage at all? Ooh, funny how that works, isn't it? It just blew smoke and mirrors, and this time we're gonna fund No Child Left Behind. What? And we're going to fund 90,000 new extra soldiers. Yeah, no doubt about it. And you got to give my plan a chance. All I am asking is give Iraq a chance. Oh, and by the way, as he was making his way out and signing State of the Union programs like some sort of rock star, did you catch that there was a little exchange between Dennis Kucinich and Dear Leader? Oh, how I would love to have known what was the substance of that conversation. Of course, Dennis is a decent guy, so it probably was more decent than anything I might have done, I suppose. But there's all kinds of stuff out there today. As well, you know, the Scooter Libby trial is underway, and it is in Washington, D.C. I want you to know, here's the weather report for Washington, D.C. It's raining dimes. Because there are more dimes being dropped in the Scooter Libby trial than there are at most mafiosi affairs. Ari Fleischer, we find out, took the fifth on outing a secret CIA agent. Ari took the fifth and then was granted immunity, and he dropped the dime. And Scooter Libby's lawyers dropped the dime on Dick, who... I don't know. Did you see him on CNN today? He looked visibly shaken. The idea that we made blunders in Iraq, that's just hogwash. Because, you know, I know a lot about military tactics and strategy because I was in Vietnam for I wasn't. And I thought I noticed, because the one thing that bothers me is all the standing ovations in the State of the Union, especially for a president that's got a 30% approval rating. What's to stand up for? And I thought I caught Dick Cheney playing that game with Nancy Pelosi where he'd, like, kind of start to get up to see if she'd get up with him. Did you see that? Oh, it was all just so much fun. But there was stuff in there for the right wingers to have hissies about, and by God, true to form, Tom Tancredo, R. Insane, of Colorado, is all bent out of shape today, declaring that George Bush is hell bent. He said it. I didn't. Is hell bent to give amnesty to the people who cook in America's finest restaurants and clean toilets and work for $3 an hour, that sort of thing. And boy, is he mad. So, you know, I don't think we're going to be wanting for anything to discuss this evening. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Bob is calling from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Hello, buddy.
How you doing?
I'm fair to middling. I was kind of curious about Dad tonight. How's he doing?
He's sleeping right now.
Is he peaceful?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Had kind of a rough night last night. A lot of coughing and stuff, but he's gotten something to ease that some, and he's resting comfortably. And the Mountaineers take on Marshall at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and I have a feeling he'll wake up for that.
Excellent. Hey, that is excellent. You know, Bob, you are the good son. You know what the good son is?
What's that, Bob?
That's the son that looks after the father. That's like, you go back in biblical. By God, prayer meeting night, is it not?
Darn straight.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're talking, you go back into the biblical, you got to find a son, a good son, one that looks after the father. But this squatting chimp there, hello?
I'm here.
Okay, you're breaking up. Okay, they're after us again, aren't they?
I think so.
Are they after us?
No, we're right here.
Oh, I thought I got the... I was listening to some fuzz and fuzzy stuff, and I'm not. Hey, my radio is off.
No, just go ahead, Bob.
I feel like I'm I'm talking into a rain barrel here. You ever been in a rain barrel?
You know, I've lived in a few.
Ah, you lived in a few. I wouldn't doubt it. You know, hey, you're a country boy like me, right?
And, absolutely.
Absolutely. And that's what I love about you. You talk straight. You speak the truth. But guess what? It is, like I said, I keep hearing this echo. Oh, I guess you're, that's right, you're remote. That's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm on, the sound is going to be a little bit different tonight.
Okay, well, it's my bad. I'm kind of out here in, kind of the wastelands of America.
No, don't worry about it. This is a very echoey room.
But no, understand, hey, your father, the man that gave you life, and he's there with you, and you're there with him. That makes you the good son. You know what the good son is, don't you? The good
Tell
son
me,
is the one that cares and does. And just, if you will mourn him, oh son, you will mourn him. Yeah, for the rest of your life, you will miss him, and you will think about that man and everything he taught you. And you will try to pass it on to your children. But not all children listen to the father, and that's what we're talking about. You know, hey, these Abrahamic people, Abraham did not listen to the father. He looked up to heaven and said, hey, why should I kill this son? Because God asked me to? You know? Well, he was not being a good son. It's funny that way, Bob. It really is. If you do not follow in your father's footsteps, you will always wonder, how did I get here? And what did I get to? And that's where Bush is at. He followed his father's footsteps. He acted like his father did. His father was a murderer. His father was a thief. His father is exactly what George W. Bush is, a thief, a murderer, a liar. And he goes up there last night. He went, or was it last night? The State of the Union. The State of the Union is in disgrace. And the people of the union are less than a disgrace. They are, they're just so self-absorbed, Bob. Not like you or Agnes. You're in tune. You're hooked up. You think your brains actually function. You're able to what's the thing? Have cognitive ability and reason. And the thing that's wrong with this nation, there's no reason, there's no thought, there is no ability to think.
Well, what we got last night was certainly not very thoughtful, was it, Bob?
No, it was not. It was disgusting. It was so.
Well, I thought it seemed rather a cry for help or an act of desperation. It was a gee, I don't want to be doing this. If you think back, there's sure a big difference between now and say, January 2002.
I just picked a German Shepherd up out of the yard and slapped the snot out of him for not listening to me. That's what George Bush's father should have done to him a long time ago. But George Bush's father was actually the son of a Nazi. Actually the son of Prescott Bush, who was a supporter of Nazis. So,
well, he was a partner at Brown Brothers Harriman and helped finance the Nazi war machine. There's no doubt about that.
There's no doubt about it. There's no
busted for violating the Trading with the Enemy Act, 1943.
Absolutely,
it's all there in the National Archives.
See, so that's the truth, Bob. Bob, and that is what I love about your show. It is full of truth. There's no lies. It's all head on. And Bob, you're doing a great job. Hey, you are the good son, and be the good son for this nation, and keep hammering these people, and hammer them until they listen, and give them the same love I give you and Agnes. It's from my heart, and from my soul, because you folks are real, true Americans. You really are. And your
well, thank you, Bob. But the same applies to ever so many other people.
I know.
You know, a lot of folks just trying to get by and do the right thing by their family.
And
do the right thing by the future.
By our what is that? It's in the preamble. It's in the to our posterity, Bob. It's in the Declaration of Independence to our posterity. We owe a debt to our posterity. And to your father, I salute him. And to you, hey, I'd love to meet you someday, son, but hey, maybe in this week by and by if there isn't.
Well, I keep thinking it'll happen someday, Bob. One of these days we're going to have a huge horn convention, like I said, right smack dab in the middle of the country.
Yeah, and we will make noise, won't we?
Absolutely. We'll raise a ruckus, Bob.
Love to you and Agnes. Take care of the kids, and salute Dad. And for me, I stand beside him, and I will meet that man one day, if there is a hereafter. And there may be or may not be, but we're not questioning whether there is or not. We're just saying, if there is one, I'll stand by that man, and I will stand as a man, and I will stand strong, and I will not back off. And I'm tired of these Republicans, Bob. I'm tired of their punk.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking of you the other day, Bob. We use the word Republican. I came up with a new one.
Huh?
Reptilicans.
A what?
The Reptilicans.
A Republican?
Reptilicans. Reptiles.
Oh, Republicans.
Reptilicans.
Repelican. Yeah, okay, reptile pelicans.
Yeah, R-E-P-T-I-L-I-C-A-N-S, reptilicans.
Reptilicans, okay. Yeah, they are kind of like snakes and slime and, kind of them, them things that you find
exactly
in your basement that you just step on and hope to God you don't get any more. But they are filthy little crawly creatures, are they not?
Every bit of it. Bob, so good to hear from you. Listen, have yourself a great night, all right?
Oh, hey, I'm still on the air. I'm listening to you, and I'm loving you. And, hey, to Agnes, hey, she did a wonderful job in your absence. I try to bolster her, but she says, hey, I don't need you. I'm doing a good job. And she was, and she did great. And so you just give her a big hug from this family to yours.
I sure will. You take it easy, Bob.
Love you much, son.
All right, we love you, brother. Take care. And I didn't mention that, and shame on me. Agnes did a lovely job in my absence last night. And I didn't even know about it. I called in, and she told me what she... You know who I felt like? I felt like Ricky Ricardo. You know, with the... Ricky, I want to play in the band. And I called on Ricky, I'm playing saxophone in the band. Oh, Lucy, you got some splaining to do. But no, she did a wonderful job, and I'm very, very proud of Agnes. Thanks for that. Yeah, I don't know if you realize this, because the theory is that if anyone is doing this halfway well, it sounds easy. But I can tell you that there are a lot of people out there that would rather, be hit by a truck than do this for 3 hours. So I'm really proud of the effort and the attempt that Agnes made last night. Let's go across the Pacific. Robert joins us from Japan this evening. Good morning. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. Doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing okay. I tried to call you in December, but we had that earthquake problem off in Taiwan, so our phones were down.
Did it take out a lot of the high tech there?
No, the internet was fine, but you know, making phone calls, especially to cell phones or just to other phones in the States, was, you know, it's pretty much a non-issue. So
I'm. But everything's back to normal now.
Huh? Yeah.
Everything's back to normal.
Yeah, sure. Just another dreary, cold, damp day. So. But I got a nice little story for you for a prayer night. I thought it's coming.
Okay, wonderful. Share it with us, please.
Okay, coming from left field from Japan, so it's not your normal one, but it has some parallels. It's about the issue of priest and the money and God. And now, this is not involving a Christian priest, but a Buddhist priest. And it's a way...
Okay.
I sometimes see her, mainly with a friend of mine who has to see her because he's married to a Japanese woman and she's friends with her. She's up on the mountain about an hour and a half. Hour and a half from here, and she's somewhat psychic, reputedly able to have conversations with the dead. Quite the show. I've never seen anything like it. Relatively unknown personality, though. But my friend tends to believe in her because her predecessor, her aunt, managed to save his life. Because he was over in Kuwait at the time, and the woman called her up and said, "You need to leave Kuwait." And he had a very good job, but the Japanese wife prevailed, and he moved, and the next week Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait and used his building as the Ba'athist Party headquarters. So so he has some tendency to believe in what she says and all. So and I give her some benefit of the doubt. I mean, I've seen her a couple times, a few times over the past 3 years or so. And there might be something there, but... The way I think about it is that I treat it as a source of information, and that's about it. I mean, I go to my friends, I go to different people to get information, and that's about it.
Sure.
But she's very interesting. I mean, she had her yearly powwow of all her followers, which is only about 25, older women, a few other people, and myself and my good friend, who's actually a British sea captain, older man, very, you know, hard-nosed, but... Yeah, he's into it a little bit. And she begins to sell bracelets this time around for $5 a pop. It was kind of interesting because I kept thinking, well, did the Buddha actually sell bracelets, or did he want to, you know, bracelets will protect you? And so I can see next year will be necklaces, and I can see everything else. And so, but she will give her yearly forecast for each person or answer a question. And it's quite interesting. I went to her when I bought a house, would you believe?
Oh, really?
Yes. I had a house in Franklin County, which is the county way south of Tallahassee.
Right. We talked about that.
Yeah, and it was an absolute mess after my renters tore it up. And worst place to move if you ever go to Florida. Dog flies, yellow flies, you name it. Sold the house. I had all this money, so I said, okay, let me buy a house. And the housing market in Japan is collapsing, Bob. The population is going down. They're building new houses all the time, new apartment complexes. And so there, 1 in 10 houses are empty now. They're just literally falling into the ground, the used homes. And the young Japanese don't want something used. They want something new, even if they have to pay $200,000, which is what the price is for a new house.
Right.
So the older homes are going for $60,000, $30,000. Sometimes I guess you can even name your own price. So I picked up this Swiss-style chateau for $63,000. And if I hadn't bought it, nobody else would have bought it. And it's up on the mountain. I wanted a country home in the city because I didn't want to go driving. And so it's up on the mountain in this little area next to the cable car. Beautiful view of the bay and the ocean. And before I bought it, though, I went to see her just, you know, because I had to go in that direction anyway to the airport and stop by. I said, should I buy the house? Because maybe there was something that I didn't know. There's a mobster next door, or there's a toxic waste dump or something. And, you know, it's just information. And she said, it's okay. And then I said, how much is the price? And she named me the price. And so when I went back and we did the negotiations with the realtor, it came out to be exactly that price, which was pretty interesting.
Oh, wow. That makes you sort of sit up and take notice and say, hmm.
Yeah, I mean, she's given me lots of information, you know, about my wife or about different issues, and she was pretty always on target. So I give her credit because, you know, why not? I mean, some people have this special talent. I mean, there's people in the police department, FBI, forensic people, can look at evidence and tell you me information that I never could have imagined, right? So, yeah, you give her some credit, and that's it, you know. So I told my realtor about this. She was fascinated by it. She went out there, saw her, and spent 5 hours with her. And so she must have, you know, actually given some money because, you know, you can give it like $10 or so, $5, whatever you feel like giving. And so she showed up at this powwow, and the rest of us were pretty much ushered out. I mean, ever so, you know, delicately, and because she was the one that was dropping some big bucks on her, I think. So the question, you know, the issue is, you know, when God has to compete with money, money always wins. So it was interesting. It was an interesting time. But I did ask some questions about my own life. You know, I was going to be a priest, remember? And you know, don't forget now, I'm still your Archdeacon of Common Sense, right?
That is true. That is true.
So I asked about that, and she said, well, you can be a priest later on. You're a little bit too busy with your children. And then she asked the spirit from which she was talking to. Again, I'm just, you know, I'm doing this as a mere alternative experience. Asked me why I hadn't been taking my children to church, which was kind of interesting. So I'm in this Buddhist temple on top of a mountain in the woods in the forest, and the spirit's asking me why I hadn't brought my children to church. So I explained, you know, my children were hating church, and they didn't like it, and they didn't understand it, like all children. And then I asked kind of just, you know, tongue-in-cheek, I said, if I become a priest later on, what should I be, Christian priest or Buddhist priest? And I was expecting Buddhist priest. She said, no, you can be anyone's okay. And so it basically what I picked up is God is really agnostic. You can go after any religion, and as long as you love God and love people, love humanity, it's okay. And from
well, you know, I can't help but come away from where I am right now with that sense, Robert. This is I'm sitting in my father's hospice house right now, in a spare room. And the fact of the matter is, there are a lot of people in extremis here, and it is a marvelous spirit building facility. And you know that there, I don't know how to put it, but there's probably been more going through my mind about the nature of existence and how we live with each other and how we serve each other and how we help each other since I've been coming here than any time lately. And I do think about these things, but it's been like a rushing stream since we brought Dad here. And you know, I think, yeah, you know, I have no tolerance. Well, like the character who wrote the letter to the editor in today's paper in Beckley. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm coming to the wrong response on this. I have no tolerance for those people, Robert.
Yeah.
You know, God's a bully. No, God is. No, he's not. God is whatever moves people.
Exactly.
Whatever makes us better human beings in many senses.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense for God to create all of these other people and then knowing that full well that he's going to end up destroying them. Because when you are in a culture, that culture is a social program. You're going to think, and you're going to like that food, and you're going to hate this food, and you're going to think this. And so you have very little choice in exactly how you believe. Now, a lot of people don't believe that, but there was a story about a friend whose daughter... her niece from her sister's marriage, the sister died and she was married to a Lebanese. So the Lebanese man took her to Lebanon, and after 1 year she was a Muslim. She was 13, 12 years old, and she was shouting down with America. And she came to the conclusion that a person is 90% culture and 10% personality. And so in that view, I mean, you really have very little leeway about how you believe and what you think. And you know, and so therefore, why would God create all these people that he's going to end up destroying? And here I am in Japan, and, you know, there's, you know, Christians are 2%, 3%, if that, and they're all lazy, speaking from experience. And so it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really matter. But what I picked up from this woman from previous visits is that basically there's seven levels of enlightenment in the afterlife. And you get many, many chances to come up and come back here and move up those levels of enlightenment. And you can come back in different religions, whatever you think that, you know, helps you, and you move up to those levels. But the key point is that you love God, you love yourself, you love other people to the fullest extent that you can. And that's pretty much it. And, but, you know, I don't have any time for these Bundys. I have people in Indianapolis that are cousins, and they're the most hateful little people I've ever met in my life. My mother had, like, mental illness one time. I mean, she had some long story. It was not, I mean, it was just some medicine she took, codeine, and they took her off to it too quickly.
Right.
Therefore, she ended up with that mental illness. And so she had a break maybe 15 years ago, and so she was up there at that time, and her brother was a Bundy, and looked at her, said, "Oh, she's possessed by an evil spirit."
And oh, why did I know you were going to say that?
Washed his hands of her, and this was his own sister. Wouldn't touch her, and so when I went up there like 6 months later, her daughter looked at me, ran to the car, didn't say hello to me at all, hadn't seen me for like 10 years. And raced to the car, and that was that. Because, you know, these evil spirits, you know, they jump, you know. It's nonsense. I hate these people.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, I mean, you fool around with an evil spirit, next thing you know, you'll have black bile or ill humors or...
Yeah.
No, I know what you're talking about. And the thing, and you've seen it because you've seen the poor population there, and, you know, I remember our former conversations, Robert, about your little clashes with these folks over... You know, shall we serve the poor?
Yeah, yeah.
And a couple of nights ago, I had the story of the preacher and pastor in Santa Monica at the Congregational Church there, who said he will, by George, let the homeless sleep between his fence and the sidewalk, and the prosecutor there saying, "Well, it's going to cost you $1,000 a day."
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're, you know, of course, they're openly defying that threat, as well they should. But there, you know, there's a reason that all that stuff that I don't want to get too heavy, but that laundry list in Matthew 25. I was sick, and you know, I was hungry, and you fed me not. I was naked, and you clothed me not. I was in prison, and you didn't visit me. I read that the other night on the air. And I've come back, and there's some. It's in a way, we tend to read that, Robert, and I think we see it as, well, you know, he's telling us that these are the things that we're supposed to do for other people because it's the right, decent, and humane thing to do, which it is.
Right.
But there's something else there too, and the other thing is that is there is that we learn about ourselves and our place in the world and in the universe. By observing and being decent to others in those circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next step away from that is you're next.
Right.
In many ways what I do on this show, I don't have time for artifice, and I don't have time for BS.
Mm.
I'm looking at my dad.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that's me. And you know what? That'll stop you in your tracks because it's not a happy place to be.
Right. Well,
so,
it was a very interesting situation for me because I had three sisters. And one died, but she was an agnostic and perfect mother. I mean, homeschooled her children, vegetarian, the epitome of, you know, the perfect wife, the perfect mother, and the perfect person that was involved with the community. And then a younger sister who's, you know, a Christian, you know, Christian parentheses, and but very, very materialistic and divorced and all these other issues. And so, you know, which one's going to heaven, you know? So, but, you know, I did stop by and ask her about this priestess, and she, you know, she consulted and did all that, and she said, "Oh, she's on the first level, but she's okay. But don't worry about it." And so it was kind of an interesting closure to this issue. If you have this tiny, tiny little belief, and if you spend 45 minutes in a church, and then you drink coffee and donuts, then you're saved. And I mean, it's such a nonsense, you know.
It's an offensive thought, and it goes against everything that that seems to come to you, mm-hmm. if you just think about trying to live an upright or a decent life.
Yeah. Well, religion has become such a damn routine nowadays, and it just makes me so ill because even in the Buddhist society, they'll go and on the festival days, and that's it for they're it. I mean, that's it for religion. Even next to my house, I mean, I'm on the mountain, and so a few steps from the steps of my house is the steps to the Fox Shrine, which is a Shinto shrine. And it goes up the mountain for maybe 10 minutes. I mean, beautiful little forest. We're in a conservation area. The shrine, the post on the lantern post on the shrine are all unpainted. It's fallen apart. The shrine needs some more work because basically the young people in Japan don't have time for religion. Religion is a dying concept. Which is kind of
they don't. Maybe it'd be more fair to say that they don't have time for that religion, Robert. They have time for the religion that has been manifested that says you will be at work at 6 o'clock in the morning and you will return home by 11 p.m. and there's your religion.
Yeah, well, basically, and then any time that you have left over, it's just spent over in the shopping mall, so which you just got one. But the problem is the religion needs to address practical concerns, and so the one I do give credit to this Buddhist priest who doesn't do the long lectures. She'll say, "What's your question? What's your problem? Let me help you with it." And so, when the realtor showed up, she's all there, and she's a firm believer now, which is more than you get with the Christian priest. You go to church and you can have a question, and it's like lolly dolly. You're not getting any real insight. It was an interesting alternative. I mean, it's an interesting thing to do something different and to get a different perspective on the afterlife and on belief. You have to realize that you don't need at the end. What I've come away from it is you don't need a priest to get you to know God. You just need yourself. Case in point: when I asked about the house, she said, you need someone to bless it. And I said, okay, you can do it. But then I learned later on it will cost me $350 to have her bless it.
Yeah, it's probably a pretty high-class blessing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a show. I mean, you get the bamboo stick and the paper and the dress and the costume, the Halloween costume and all of that. So I just did it myself. because you don't need a priest to bless your children. You don't need a bless, you can do it yourself. And they will, sow the seeds of insecurity in you if you're not careful. It's like your funerals, you have to have a funeral with a priest, and if you don't have that, then you're a bad person. It's a nonsense. It's perhaps for yourself, but I firmly believe that a priest is no closer to God than you are.
I think wasn't that at the heart of the so-called Reformation?
Yeah, exactly. Coming from my experience with the Anglican Church here in Japan, and even the Philippines, which I picked up, priests are not holy people. It's not like you would expect, like in India with the gurus who have this incredible insight. A lot of politics. I mean, there was a deacon that was finishing up his PhD in the Philippines. He said, "I can never be a priest in this diocese because this guy opposes me and this guy opposes me." And that's everywhere. That's the norm. Incredible amount of bullying goes on. So,
That's just sad.
Sad, very sad. Yeah.
Well, and frankly, I'm sure there are those who would take issue with me, Robert. But the fact of the matter is, I think that's also proof that that is not the way.
No, it's not the way. No. My attitude is, do it yourself. Yeah, just like with this house I'm fixing up, I'm doing a lot of it myself and also with a carpenter. You can do things yourself. And you almost been convinced by the religion industry that you can't do that. You can't come to God unless you come through us and have a Jesus cracker every week. And
depending on the flavor of the month, you got to go to the Fundy Church, and they got the red pile carpet, and you got to walk all the way down in the middle of the theater seating, all the way down to where the Sony Jumbotron and the highly charismatic preacher is, and you got to fall weeping on the floor. Next thing, and if you don't do it that way, it ain't real.
Yep.
I don't want anything to do with any of those people.
No, I don't.
Because as far as I'm concerned, going back to what you said about your sister, I don't believe in that. No, that's not demon possession. Demon possession is Paul and Jan Crouch, and Benny Hinn,
yeah,
and James Dobson and that outfit. Because those people sow true evil in the earth. Now, I don't, I'm not talking about anybody with the typical Dionysian, cloven hose and the little trident and horns and all of that stuff. No, I'm talking about people who sow real discord, real hurt, and real evil in the world.
Oh, real hate too. Yeah, I mean that's pretty much the conclusion I came to as well. So, but I just thought I would share this little story with you.
Well, absolutely, and for what it's worth, from our end of the world, many blessings upon your new house.
Well, thank you. It's there's five other homes there that are pretty much there empty. So, if you ever wanted to pick up a nice home overlooking the bay.
Don't tempt me.
Japan Sea is right there. You have good view. I mean, sea breeze. I mean, that's one of the reasons I bought this. It's a weekend house. It's something I'm just going because I was baking over in August. It was just so hot here in Japan because most of the city is covered in asphalt, and they're expanding the asphalt by the minute, and so you just bake and bake and bake, and so I said I need to get out of this, and so it's going to be a kind of a summer house, I suppose. And the neighbors were quite nice. I was actually situation where I introduced myself, and the women would fall on their knees and talk to me from their knees, which was a new experience for me. Because that's, Japanese.
Get up, quit that, get up, stand up.
Yeah, so don't worry, you don't have to do that, but unfortunately, in the next 5 years, it's going to be one in five homes that will be empty. And can you imagine 20% of your housing stock that is just falling into the ground?
Wow.
And
you don't even think about things like that in terms of Japan.
Yeah, and the government could care less, because it's the new stuff that gets the attention, and it's breeding the concept in the young people that you have to have new. Where you have these beautiful homes up on the mountain that are empty. So it goes back to a book that I was telling you about before that I really, really recommend you and everyone else to read, which is called Dogs and Demons.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the underside of the real life of Japan, and it's also about conservatives, how the conservatives have ruled Japan and just ruined it. And it should be also one. I would like to have a book, about the dogs and demons of the United States, because one of the demons of Japan is the concrete asphalt industry, which just runs the government. And so we have more concrete and asphalt than the United States does, if you can imagine that. But in the United States,
I guess it's balanced out by the amount of wide open arable space of the American West and the grasslands and the prairies,
right,
and so
exactly.
forth.
Right, exactly. But and you used to substitute the concrete industry for the military industry, and you get the dogs and demons of the United States because military industry runs the country. So.
Oh, that's a very interesting thought.
Yeah. Well, you can just take the same book and the same issues and just look at it from that way, but it's incredible insights about how conservatives can ruin a country and what they do and how they do it. And I'll try to read some parts of it to you later on.
I'd very much like to read that.
Yeah, it's Alex Kerr, K-E-R-R. Maybe you can interlibrary loan it or something. He also wrote a book called Lost Japan, about how Japan's lost its culture because of American cultural domination of that way.
Yeah, we McDonald's it.
Yeah. And so that's another interesting book, because in a way the United States has lost its local culture as well. So I guess another book that you can easily substitute. So.
Well, I'm in the middle, oddly enough. God help me, I love books, so I'd rather have a book than a movie any day of the week.
Mm.
But I just started one, and I haven't even remembered. I don't even remember the author's name, but the name of the book is 1491.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a survey of what the pre-Columbian Western Hemisphere was like. And there's a lot of that in there. The total erasure of entire cultures, ways of thinking, and, just some interesting stuff thrown out along the way. I had no, and, oddly enough, maybe it's another book, but I had no idea that the Babylonian numerical system was based on 60.
Oh.
And that just made my eyes roll back in my head. We make cultural assumptions that are proven wrong on an almost daily basis.
Right.
So, anytime you get one erased, and, that's one of the things that's so wrong about what's going on in Iraq, what's going on in any place that the general population is in a state of misery. I know people hate to hear words like genocide and racism thrown around, but anytime you are actively involved in killing a significant amount of the population, you're involved in cultural erasure. Because it won't get better.
There were plans to bomb. From what I learned in this book, to bomb Kyoto during World War II. Even bombing a city with women and children, I still have a hard time with that. I lived in Hiroshima my first year, and you can actually go past the shadows in the concrete and see exactly what it happened.
I don't know. Maybe you get used to it. I don't know if I could stand living that close to that every day.
Yeah, it was another alternative experience. I sort of believe in alternative experiences because it opens my mind a bit more. But the new Holocaust Museum was quite interesting, because they actually take you through a simulation of what it's actually like to be in a situation after the bomb with the fires, and it's not for the light of heart, I have to admit.
No, and I imagine that one takes a couple of days to get over.
Oh yeah. But
Robert, so good talking to you, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Is class in session?
Well, we got exams in 2 weeks, so the school year starts here in April. So, and finishes up at late February. So, it's another, you always have to start things off with the cherry blossoms. So.
Oh, well, that's a nice start.
Yeah. Well, pink is a nice color, and I wish they devise a tree where the trees stay in bloom the entire year or something. Because it's just so
beautiful. Oh, wouldn't it be nice?
So beautiful.
Well, do right by your students, and I know that you do. And I hope we'll talk again soon.
Okay, sure will.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care, Robert. Our good friend Robert calling from Japan. And we have found our way to the top of, through an hour already. Your phone calls are, of course, welcome. It's prayer meeting night. It's congregational. Certainly, I'm here, here in the pulpit, Brother Bob in the Cathedral of Common Sense. But, and that, of course, was our Archdeacon Robert. Chime right in. What's on your mind? We can certainly talk about what went down last night with the State of the Union address. We can talk about the fact that it's raining dimes all over Scudero Libby, and there's other stuff out there too. Somewhere along the way, I want to share something with you. A letter I got copied in on a few nights ago. Senator Clinton indicated that she wanted a conversation. They're lifting our stuff. But I've got a response that I'd like to share with you from one of our listeners that I've given permission to share with you. And we'll maybe do that. But the phone number, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. Email, of course, bob@headonradio.com. We'll take a break for the news, then we'll come back and, hey, look, well, you drive the bus, I'll drive the bus. We're just going to have ourselves some fun. Hallelujah. And the rest of that. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Open up the gates of the church and let me out of here. Too many people in the light in the name of Christ for anyone to heed the call. So many people have died in the name of Christ that I can't believe it all. Now I'm standing on the grave of a soldier that died in 1799. And the day he died, it was a birthday. And I noticed it was mine. And my head didn't know just who I was. And I went spinning back in time. And I am high up on the altar. High up on the altar. High.
This is the Quality News Network. Less than 24 hours after hearing from President Bush on the State of the Union, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee approved a non-binding resolution opposing a proposed troop surge in Iraq. Committee members included Republican Senator Chuck Hagel. The vote was 12 in favor, 9 against. The measure will be taken up by the full Senate next week. Democratic Senator Joseph Biden, the chairman of the committee, viewed the legislation as, quote, an attempt to save the president from making a significant mistake, unquote. Last night's State of the Union address included a plea to the Democratic Congress to give his new policy of a troop surge in Iraq, quote, the time it needs to work. It also included a range of White House plans concerning illegal immigration, health care coverage, and global warming. Newly elected Senator James Webb of Virginia delivered the Democratic response. He said the president took the country into war recklessly. Two U.S. Marines were killed in a Sunni-dominated neighborhood yesterday in Baghdad during a heavy battle with insurgent gunmen. The country's defense ministry says in the joint U.S.-Iraqi action, as many as 30 militants were killed. One U.S. soldier was also killed today in Iraq. A U.S. government official says that 4 out of the 5 Americans who were killed when their security company's helicopter crashed yesterday in Baghdad had been shot in the head execution style. The plane owned by Blackwater USA may have been shot down before it crashed in a dangerous Sunni neighborhood. In a video posted on the Internet today, al-Qaeda's second-in-command, Ayman al-Zawahiri, says current U.S. policies toward Muslim states will prompt reprisals. He also said the Mujahideen would retaliate against Ethiopia for helping oust Somalia's Islamist government. The London Daily Telegraph reports North Korea is sharing information about its nuclear weapons program with the Iranian military. The paper says Pyongyang may help Tehran conduct future nuclear missile tests, perhaps as early as the end of this year. Israeli President Moshe Katsav has asked for a temporary leave of absence. He faces rape and abuse of power charges. He's been under pressure to resign, including a call today from Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news is just ahead.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Today, the Senate rejected the minimum wage bill passed by the House because lawmakers want to include additional tax cuts for restaurants and other businesses. Taxpayers have until April 17th this year to file their taxes with the IRS. That's because the usual day, April 15th, is a Sunday, and April 16th is a holiday in Washington, D.C. The New York Stock Exchange and Tokyo Stock Exchange both have been in talks about a possible alliance. An announcement could be made on the 31st of this month. State Farm has settled a lawsuit filed by 640 homeowners after Hurricane Katrina. The insurer will pay those claims worth hundreds of millions of dollars. New chief executive of Home Depot will receive a much smaller compensation package than his predecessor. Frank Blake will earn just under $9 million compared to the newly $24 million that Bob Nardelli, his predecessor, earned before. Rupert Murdoch, the head of News Corp, has now joined in the bidding for the Tribune Company, which owns the L.A. Times, Chicago Tribune, New York Newsday, along with 23 TV stations and the Chicago Cubs baseball team. Light sweet crude at $55.37 a barrel. That's up 33 cents. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 87 points at 12,621. NASDAQ up 35. The S&P 500 up 12. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Yes, you are. And hour one went very well. I thought, especially given the, it's always a little bit of an adventure when I go on the road and we hook up the remote rig and try to see if everything works. Of course, it's been a very remote kind of day today, hasn't it? Of course, Mark Levine's in Washington, D.C., and lo and behold, our good friend Guy James is in Washington, D.C. today as well. Heard he had a fabulous show, with the exception of the yeoman-like work of the darling, lovely, talented Agnes. There's no radio happening in the studio today. And you know what? I got to admit, I get lonesome for the studio. You know, we've all got our happy place, and that's my happy place. So it's a little bit... it's a little bit odd to be here. Let's go straight back to the phone. Susan's been waiting a while, calling from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hiya, Brother Bob.
Hallelujah, Sister Susan.
In reply to that nice gentleman who opined about the gender of God.
Yeah, he's a boy.
Yeah, and... first of all, speaking as a member of the old religion, and they call it the old religion for...
Yeah, as in more than 2,000 years old, yes.
Yeah, we predate Christianity, so the dude doesn't really know what he's talking about. You know, he's not there. I hope he won't mind if I continue to consider God as female. I'm sorry, that's just the way I work.
Well, this poor idiot doesn't even understand. That's the thing. Nine times out of ten, if you catch these fundies opining about truth, nine times out of ten they don't even understand what their own faith, let alone anybody else's.
Well, you know what that sounded like? It sounded like he's reciting something his pastor told him.
That's exactly what it is, because I know, I just know that Jennings Angell does not read Hebrew.
Uh huh. Very few people read Hebrew at all, let alone ancient Hebrew, which is an entirely different language.
Right. I mean, this has been pulled out of some fundy tract or pulled out of, or you know, he heard it in Sunday school. I got to put that in the newspaper because I heard somebody refer to God as she the other day or it, and that's sacrilegious.
Right. Oh, by the way, about the show last night, that was magic. Your dear wife.
Really?
Oh, yes. Your dear wife not only came up with the interviews that she played, but what was magic was what she said in between those interviews. She was good, really good.
Well, I've always known that she is, and we keep talking about a show and talking about a show, but we stay so cotton picking busy, Susan.
Oh yeah.
Running what we got here that she doesn't have time to pour a little bit more of her own soul into something else.
Yes, I understand that, but I urge everyone, go to the archive, download that show, and you're going to listen to something really, really special. I happen to know she was sweating blood the entire time, but it doesn't come across that way.
Well, I'm glad to know that, because we talked earlier today. I haven't been back to home or the studio in over 24 hours now. And she listened to herself, and that's always a challenge. The first time you have to start learning to air check yourself is one of the ugliest facets of this business.
Yeah, well, it's hard on your ego because you're your own worst critic.
Yeah, right, because 9 times out of 10, you just want to huddle up in a corner and go, I need to be a plumber or something. Yeah.
Actually, the reason I called was dear old Chip and his address. I caught something that I haven't heard anybody mention.
What's that?
In his speech, well, first of all, besides his standard insult with the Democrat thing.
You're right.
For that, he mentioned, we are gathered by custom. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but according to Article 2, Section 3, that doesn't, there ain't no such thing as custom about it. It's called the Constitution, and that's the law of the land.
Yeah, that's not customary. That's a legal requirement of holding the office.
But what...
You could make the argument that not delivering it would be an impeachable offense.
Yeah, well, he's already committed so many. I mean, what's one more? The thing that really was scary, and I don't think anybody's mentioned it, is the part where he was talking about establishing a volunteer civilian reserve corps where it would ease the burden on the armed forces. In other words, what he's talking about is a whole bunch of mercenaries loyal only to him and his buddies.
Yeah, a Praetorian cohort, if you will.
Who are acting outside of the law, and your term is exactly right, a Praetorian guard.
Well, I also saw that as a means of having a ready, because there will be strings attached.
Oh, yeah.
But having a so-called ready reserve of people, but it won't be a draft because they already signed on for it, see?
Uh-huh. Right. And
but the other thing that I did notice mention of, and noticed myself, when, because he started talking about that stuff, and they took the camera that was on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Those guys were sitting there stone-faced.
Oh, yeah, they don't like it, because they would be out...
Didn't clap, nothing.
Yeah, they were outside of... They would have been... People would be outside of the Uniform Code of Military Conduct. In other words, the Joint Chiefs wouldn't have any control over them.
No, they would be loyal to whom... Not whatever, but whomever they swore allegiance to.
Yeah, and as far as I can tell, he's not having them loyal... You know, following any laws like, you know, fun things like the Constitution. I don't know about you, that scares the crap out of me.
Well, everything this man does scares the crap out of me at this point, Susan.
You know, this is
it's a horror movie that won't end.
What? I'm sorry, I didn't...
I said it's a horror movie that won't end.
Oh, yeah. We need to impeach this guy. And the speech was... horrible by what he didn't say as well. Not one word about veterans.
Oh, no. Not one word about Katrina.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Not one word about Katrina or the Gulf Coast. Not one bloody word.
And, of course, you know, what was there to say? Although, you know, that's the thing about the news cycle. Lo and behold, today he didn't... He didn't say a word about Katrina last night, but today, how about that? It looks like State Farm is going to have to pay off on some Mississippi claims.
Yeah, well, State Farm was going to have to do that before the speech.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, I've become very suspicious Agnes and I saw this thing on TV the other night. It was the Discovery Channel. I was hoping to catch Tony Bourdain. Instead, I caught this skinhead dude shooting what looked like a giant revolver. Only it was RPGs.
Yeah.
And it was revolting. Oh, you can use one of these, and you can take out a truck, and blah, 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 and look at all the shrapnel flying around, and nobody survives that.
You know what I find even more disturbing? The National Geographic Channel, that bastion of knowledge and inquiry, is running a series glorifying mercenaries in Iraq.
I'm not at all surprised. You can't turn the TV channels from one to the next anymore without finding something. Oh, well, that was another promo that Agnes and I saw. The Discovery Channel is spinning off something called the Military Channel.
Yeah, that's been around for quite a while.
Well, I'd never seen it. I mean, I live under a rock, I guess, but that's a rock, not Iraq. But I had never seen a promo for this thing before. I can't. It's nothing but a propaganda channel.
Exactly, it's propaganda. And what?
All war, all the time. Congratulations, praise God.
Yeah, if we wanted all war all the time, let's go to the Hitler channel and watch World War II again. You know, that's what.
Yeah, I can remember when A&E was the All Hitler Network.
Yeah, well, that and the History Channel. Between the two of them, you got pretty much World War II all the time. And that was
but it was
because, let's face it,
it's so disturbing because all of these things, glorifying the weapons system. Oh, this the name of the show was Future Weapons.
Yeah, I've seen promos for it. I make it a point.
You know, I can deal with Adam and Jamie, the Mythbusters guys. You know, that's making things go boom in a fun kind of way.
Yeah.
But this was the absolute, unabashed glorification of slaughtering human beings.
Uh-huh.
And you sort of scratch your head and say, is there a market for this? Who? I mean, honest to God, you know, there's so many channels on TV now. What is the market for that program? You know, and are there enough right-wing warmongers left in this country that is still playing to some of them? How many viewers does a TV show have in order to be profitable or be worth the production costs?
Actually, not many.
Well, with cable being what it is, that's probably true. And, of course, if you, I don't know, I'm speculating here, tinfoil hat, you know, little black helicopters rotating, hovering in the sky over outside the window. But if you dug deep on this far enough, I think you would find out that these things are probably subsidized by the defense industry.
I wouldn't be.
Otherwise, where would this guy get this really cool giant? Well, it looked. You remember the movie The Mask, Jim Carrey? And he's got this, you know, the cartoon revolver, and it's giant. Or maybe it was Who Framed Roger Rabbit? But it was like something out of a cartoon. It was a giant revolver. It shot these. Oh, and this is a hell grenade. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Yeah, the closest I want to get to glorifying the military is watching Marvin the Martian plan on blowing up the Earth.
Delays. The Elodian Q-32 exploding space modulator has been stolen.
Yes, him I watch all day long. I love him. Loving the piece.
Oh, yeah, I'm a Marvin fan.
But when they start, some of this stuff is just not. I can't bring myself to watch it because I know there are people over there dying.
Well, I was tuning in for just a little show about cooking and travel, and then all of a sudden I'm watching gasoline trucks explode, and it's just
appalling.
There's a disconnect involved.
Yeah, it's appalling. This guy is just. He's not even on the same planet. If you look in the... I'm pretty sure that anymore, if you look in the dictionary for the definition of psychotic, you're going to find George Walker Bush's picture next to him.
Psychotic, sociopathic, psychopathic,
yeah.
Oedipus complex. I mean, he's cross-referenced, okay? I mean, we're clear about that, right?
That's why we have to... It's not just a matter of, you know, getting our resolutions through the Senate saying we don't support it. No, we need to put impeachment back on the table. We need to get these people out of here. Because the more amount of damage they can do in the next, by 2008 is incalculable.
Well, yeah.
I know, I'm speaking to the choir.
Well, yeah, kind of, but this stuff, how many other places are there that we can express this stuff?
Very few. Anyway, I'm going to let you go so that somebody else can express their stuff.
All right.
My opinion of the speech is up on Centab. I basically just took it apart. I got mad. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
There's a lot of reviews of this speech up, and they're all negative.
I saw one diehard Republican on TV today saying, well, it was clear he extended an olive branch to the Democrat Party.
If the Democrats, and I'm not saying Democrat Party, I'm saying Democrats plural, these Republicans, and I'm going to be using that word constantly until they learn their lesson. If they can't see what's going on, they're going to go down the tube just like their predecessors did in the 2006 elections. And the Democrats need to pay attention, because if they don't deliver, we'll replace them too.
That's what we said all along in advance of the election, and I think it's something that we have to remain true to.
Yeah,
either they do the job they were sent to do, or we'll start finding people to run in the primary.
Yeah, the people in the election, the Republicans that are starting to break away like Smith, that's not because he actually believes it. He's coming up for re-election in 2008, and he knows he's going to get hit.
Yeah. It's Machiavellian is what it is. Get right down to it. His opinion of the war hasn't changed.
No.
Only his opinion of the opinions of the people who elect him has changed.
And as far as the so-called olive branches, if the Democratic Party believes anything that George Bush put forward last night, okay, I'm going to say it the way it should have been said, rather than the way George did. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I screwed it up.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Anyway.
Susan, thank you so kindly, and have a wonderful evening.
You have a nice night, and give your wife a kiss. She's done a good job for you.
Okay. Take care. Bye now. And we'll keep rolling on. Our good friend Mitch calls from California. Hey, Mitch, welcome to the program.
The hell are you? I'm trying to get the Agnes Kincaid show. This is the Agnes Kincaid show.
Yeah, this is the Agnes Kincaid show. That's exactly what it is.
You're the clown that's still running for tonight. I see. Hey, how you doing, Bobby?
No, I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing all right. You're not speech best. I don't know. This guy, this guy should be drawn and quartered, distorted. You know? That's what he should start. Then after that, they can get serious about punishing the good. You know? I mean, this guy is beyond anything. But you know what? I think we all have our, you know, I had a few moments of Bush that just, I mean, in the overall sweep of things that don't mean much, but those little things that just really piss you off. You know what really, gets my goat still? The goddamn wire at the debate. Did I just say the wrong thing there?
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Okay. That wire at the debate, the Times knew it, and they wouldn't report it because it was the election. Was that their excuse? They didn't want to mess up the election by reporting that Bush had a wire on during the debate? I mean, and they knew it, and then NASA did all the photography. That little thing.
It was the NASA scientist who had built his career on analyzing photographs of Mars.
I know. I mean, in the sweep of things, that was like that's one of the minor things that Bush did that was, you know, egregious. But that's one of the things that really sticks in my core. You know, that's one of those things that, I mean, of all the things that we kill people, I know that's terrible, but that one thing, just for some reason, it just gets me. Well, did you ever see that video? Well, who did it? Where the guy's signaling Bush, and they have Bush out there, and he's walking to Bush from in the wings. The comedian from TV, from the show, just showed him, and he sees like, and it was it's like a goof where he's talking to Bush, and Bush is trying to follow the cues. Bobby, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm hearing every word you say.
Yeah, this connection. I'm having a tough time with this connection here. Anyway, I just wanted to check in with you tonight and let you know that I watched this Stink of the Onion last night, and the guy, he's everything you expect him to be. It's like, you know, you watch him now, and it's almost like the act is so old and so threadbare that it's incredible that anybody can buy it anymore. I mean,
I don't think he even buys his own shtick anymore, Mitch.
I don't even think he knows what his shtick was or is or what it has been. I don't think he even knows what's going on. I think he just reads what they tell him to read. I don't think he has a clue what's going on. I think in the world today, if you got him alone and you asked him about things in the world today, he wouldn't know what to do unless he had Dick Cheney to get a hold of him. And this guy couldn't.
Well, what about that line in there, Mitch, where he said, I don't know what it was you were voting for, but I know you didn't vote to lose.
Yeah, right. Very well. We didn't vote to lose, that's for sure. You know, we voted to lose him. You know?
Well, there were some members of Congress who didn't vote for war. I mean, if you go back and you read that thing, and it's one of the things that they've been very good at. Oh, it's the Iraq War Resolution. No, it's not.
No, it ain't.
It's an authorization for the use of force, and there are all kinds of force that isn't war.
Exactly. And what is the Democrats getting up applauding them last night for? I mean, what are these guys? They're straight there. Let them know. You know. Let them see in your contempt. You know what I mean? I see Democrats getting up and applaud every time they say soldiers. It feels like they have to get up and applaud because they mention soldiers. Oh, I got to applaud because it's a soldier. He mentioned a soldier. I got to applaud. That's stupid.
Oh, he said tax cuts. If the mainstream media sees the Democrats not standing up and applauding tax cuts, well, they'll be tax and spend liberals after all.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, I mean, just to watch the Democrats. Even then, I mean, you know, I mean, what have these guys done? I mean, like I spoke to you the last time. I mean, you say we got to get across to them. Exactly. Well, you know, I mean, if we haven't gotten across to them by now, Bobby, I don't know what we can say to these people. I mean, these people. I mean, we have to go so far to the left just to get anywhere near the center. We have to go so far left that we fall off the end of the earth. And then,
well, I'm beginning to wonder. What's bothering me, Mitch, is the idea that we can go that far to the left, and yet I don't know that it makes any difference because, again, got a lot of time on my hands this afternoon watching CNN, you know, sitting in Dad's room and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this analysis of the speech last night, and. Well, you know, and it's the little polling dude from Gallup or whatever the CNN has handy and drags out every now and then. And he says, he goes over all the data. Well, you know, only 30% of Americans approve of the job he's doing. He's not going to get any bump out of this. President's traditionally lose a quarter of a point, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out of that segment and they go to a package that begins with a line something like, well, not everyone disagrees with President Bush. We found blah, 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 Jimmy Joe Bob in Georgia, and we watched it with Jimmy Joe Bob.
Right. Right.
Okay. So they got three little Kool-Aid drinkers there,
mm-hmm.
and Jimmy Joe Bob's in real estate and identifies himself as a Christian conservative.
Oh, boy. Yeah, here we go. This right
and
right
so it goes, you know, you got the three knuckle walkers.
Yeah, you know.
And they go through there, and they've got a clip of Bush mentioning health savings accounts, and And the Jimmy Joe Bob, the man who continues to support Bush, I think he's a president who's had very terrible problems thrust upon him. He could have been a great president if he hadn't had all of this happen to him. And the next thing is he says, well, what do you think of the health savings account? He goes, well, I reckon it's better than socialized medicine.
Jesus, I mean, these people, these kids, I mean...
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's Elvis gun stuff. I mean, just shoot the TV. I mean, because, you know what wasn't there, Mitch?
Mm.
They didn't follow it up with a package of diehard liberals throwing crap at the television and talking about what an idiot he is.
No, they don't. I mean, they have no idea of balance. Have you seen Fox has a new slogan now? What's the new slogan? It says, here's the new slogan. And this is for real. News without at all the left-wing bias. Fair and balanced, Fox News.
Oh.
News without the left-wing bias. That's their actually slogan now. And then it's
oh, Lord, I just hate them, Mitch. I just hate them so bad because...
I love Fox.
Well,
because they're a parody. I mean, they become such a joke in the industry, and everybody knows they're a joke now. But they become
the joke is spreading, Mitch. There's this story. I mean, did you follow this business of the firestorm, the artificial, you know, the mountain out of a molehill that got made by, oh, you know, let's see, it was Rush and it was Hannity and it was Fox and Friends and it was Glenn Beck and about how Barack Obama attended a madrasa, one of those radical Muslim schools, when he was 6 years old in Indonesia. Did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, they're so desperate now. I mean, they've been on top for so long and gloating that now they're just like desperate, just digging for anything. I mean, just scratching and kicking and just, I mean, their desperation is just pathetic. I mean, you watch it, it's almost like, you know, it's a pathos. You know, it's like Sean Hannity on TV, just like blathering now, and he has nothing to defend anymore. You know, I mean, and they've all become like jokes. You know, anybody with half a mind doesn't even pay attention. The trouble is that there's not a lot of people in this country with half a mind. You know, I mean, this is a very uneducated country, a very uneducated society. My daughter graduated.
Well, and it hasn't always been that way. It's been manipulated in that direction, Mitch.
My daughter graduated high school, and you know what? I think if she was in my day, I don't know if she would have got out of the eighth grade. You know what I mean? I mean, I went to parochial school, which I wasn't very fond of. But I did get an education, you know. And
yeah, you got an education because you had some mean ass nuns involved.
They beat it into you. Yeah, you know. I mean, sometimes, but it's time. I look at these kids graduating high school now. They don't know anything. You know, they train to pass tests. They get it. They have a test at the end of the year that they have to pass. And there's no child left behind thing. So what they do all year is they train to pass the test. They know all the answers for the, you know, so that they can pass the test so they can get more money for the program. So they actually don't learn anything except the things that are on the test. And they study all year to pass the test. I mean, it's incredibly, incredibly stupid, you know? Incredibly.
No, we see it here, too. I mean, they teach to the test here, and they start tormenting the little children with the tests in, what, third, fourth grade, something like that? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm very well familiar with that.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you, you know, it's the whole, I mean, I don't know if there's any hope for us. And, you know, I mean, and you know what? If it winds up all going in the toilet, we deserve it to let it get this far in the first place, you know? Maybe the human race is just another one of God's mistakes, you know? Maybe just another cul-de-sac, as George Carlin would say, you know? Another biological cul-de-sac, you know? Maybe, you know, when the Earth sees what we're really about, he says it'll shake us off like a dog shakes off the fleas, you know?
Well, yeah, like what Kurt Vonnegut says, that the human race is a virus that the Earth is desperately trying to rid itself of.
Yeah, right. I always put the Vonnegut line, too, about the money tree that attracts people who fill each other around its roots and make very good fertilizer. I always thought that was a good one, too, you know.
That's a beauty. Hey, Mitch, so good to hear from you, brother.
You too, my friend. Don Roberto, have a good evening. Give my love back.
I sure will.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Our good friend Mitch in California. Die-hard Knicks fan, I might add. Still, not the best of times to be a Knicks fan, but you gotta love the true fans who stand by through thick or thin. Tell you what, we will take a break. We'll come back. And xenophobia, anyone? Let's try a little xenophobia on for size. What do you say? Your phone calls, of course, are welcome, too. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The UAW tells Workers Independent News that it has no comment for now on a Wall Street Journal report that the union is reportedly talking with automakers about possibly assuming retiree health insurance costs. If that happens, the companies would pony up billions of dollars in trust funds to get the UAW started with providing retiree health benefits on its own. The automakers would benefit by shedding a long-term responsibility in return for a massive short-term expense. If done right, with enough initial financing by the companies and good management by the union, it would ensure that UAW retirees can depend on their hard-won health insurance benefits, even if an automaker goes bankrupt. More job cuts are on the horizon for Pfizer workers. Due to expiring patents in 2010 and 2012, the company projects it'll be losing upwards of $14 billion in profits. To combat the loss, the company announced on Monday that it plans to lay off 10,000 employees and close 5 facilities worldwide. The world's largest drug company expects roughly 2,200 of those jobs to come from the U.S. workforce. Plants being targeted include at least one in Michigan and another in Brooklyn. Workers for bankrupt Pittsburgh Brewing Company had little choice when faced with the lesser of two evils. Jesse Russell has more.
It was a slim margin, but workers at Pittsburgh Brewing Company accepted a new contract that slashes wages by 15%, cuts vacation time for senior employees, and takes more from the pockets of workers for health care. The other option, the plant closes up shop and they have no jobs. Even after the 66-52 vote, the future of the plant is uncertain. The salvation of the faltering plant is contingent on Pittsburgh Brewing Acquisition acquiring the plant after it emerged from bankruptcy in late April. The new 3-year contract would replace a contract set to expire in 2010 and would cover nearly 130 workers represented by 2 separate unions.
The U.S. Senate is expected to vote today on whether to end debate and bring up a clean minimum wage increase bill for a vote without attaching tax break strings for business. Tax break bills for business never have automatic minimum wage hikes attached, but George Bush and some Republicans want to hold the minimum wage increase hostage to more tax breaks for business. Organized labor, though, wants a clean minimum wage increase with no more tax breaks attached.
Here is today's economic report. According to a new study, less youth subscribe to the old adage, money can't buy happiness. A poll of freshmen entering UCLA found that 3/4 felt it was important or essential to be very well off financially. In 1966, that number was only 42%. According to a CNN story, researchers are finding that materialism runs rampant across socioeconomic lines. One author found that parents, when adjusted for inflation, are spending 500% more on kids than just one generation ago.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
This is Head On for Wednesday night, our prayer meeting edition. And like I said, one of those little xenophobia alerts. And this also falls under the general category of I've caught myself not talking about West Virginia enough. Because this is a special place. This is a wonderful place. That's what made it so offensive when the Flyboys decided to shatter the tranquility of our evenings last week. I'm looking at an article from today's Beckley paper, page 2A, headline, Bailey gives English bill another try. And it's written by Mannix Porterfield, who is, I guess, the head reporter for the Beckley paper. And it's catchy and cute. Check this out. Sprechen Sie Deutsch? If so, keep the bilingual prowess to yourself when seeking government documents in West Virginia if Senator Billy Wayne Bailey has his way in this session. Bailey's reviving a long-running effort to make English the official language of government across the state. All levels of government, the Senate Majority Whip said Tuesday. Bailey wants the legislature to declare English the official language as a matter of saving taxpayers' money. You take a little county, say a little poor county like Summers County, and people move in there that speak, say, French. And they want everything done in French, Bailey. This is the sad part. Democrat, Wyoming County said. Do you know how much that would cost that county if every document that they ask for be printed in French? Every deed, every will that they solicit from the county clerk's office, and every ballot? Bailey and other senators have tried without success for several years to get such a law enacted. Joining him in this year's bill are Senators Roman Prezioso, Democrat, Marion County, Joseph Menard, Democrat, Harrison County, John Yoder, Reptilican, Jefferson County, Clark Barnes, Reptilican, Randolph County, and Dave Seipolt, Reptilican, Preston County. In every previous go-round, the bill easily cleared the Senate, only to get bottled up in the House of Delegates.
It's been misconstrued that it's an English-only bill, Bailey said. People have stretched it too far out of line. What it says is the official language of the state of West Virginia is English. Therefore, when you go to a government agency, whether a state, county, or city, and ask for a document, it would have to be printed in English. Now, it just gets better. Wait. Without such a law, Bailey envisions a host of time-consuming and costly requests by non-English residents. Huh? Non-English? Jesus, all this time I thought West Virginia was settled largely by the Scots-Irish, but, you know, stupid me. No, non-English residents, according to Mannix Porterfield. Right now, you could go in and say, I want it in Sanskrit, and somebody's got to figure out a way to come up with that document in whatever language you ask. I'm not outlawing any other language. Well, that's mighty big of you. I'm just saying the official language of the government in this state will be English. So all government documents will be in English. Bailey offered no explanation why the annual Senate-approved English bill never exited the House. I don't know why. I think people look at it as a bigotry against certain people. Duh. But it's really not. It's passed over here every year. It has its problems in the House. Now, wait a minute. Time out. Coach Bob throws the red handkerchief out on the field. I think people look at it as a bigotry against certain people, but it's really not. It's passed over here every year. It has its problems in the House. This is a head-on radio network logic moment. Or this is a head-on radio network rhetorical moment. Jesus! Look at the. I think people look at it as bigotry against certain people, but it's not. Why is it not? It's passed over here every year. It has its problems in the House, therefore it's not a bigotry issue. Because what? The bigots are in the House? Or there are no bigots in the Senate? All of Al McCogan is dead. Only part of the class of dead people are Al McCogan. Love that logic lesson from Monty Python. Oh, where do you start with this? You'll notice we have reference to German. You have reference to French. And you have reference to Sanskrit. Sanskrit. The Indian subcontinent equivalent of Latin, a ceremonial language. I don't think it's actually in day-to-day spoken use anymore, but Senator Bailey is terribly afraid of a gang of Sanskrit-speaking hillbillies coming over and wanting it all printed. Oh, it makes my head hurt. And the worst part of this, these guys are Democrats. Now, just to be fair, this goes to prove a point. I am not going to sit and rah-rah somebody for saying something just because that somebody happens to call himself a Democrat. This is inexcusable. Again, German, French, Sanskrit. Quick, class, what language did Senator Bailey not mention? What's the real reason he wants this bill? Habla español, Senator Bailey? Oh, no, no. Never español. Oh, what did Dear Leader call it once upon a time? The soft expectations of low spark racists, or the low spark of high heeled racists, or the diminished racism of low softness, or do you remember that speech where he taught that stupid phrase? This is that. And it kind of breaks my heart to even mention it, but it is true. This is that. The English as the official language movement is a typically right-wing talking point. It's a right-wing pet issue. You know this. That goes hand in hand with the Tom Tancredo, round them up and send them back to Mexico bunch. I despise this stuff. Especially because if you... Now, Mitch and I were talking a couple of minutes ago about our educational system and teaching to the test and all that stuff, and I hate it. But... English instruction has gone down precipitously in our educational system. I would far rather spend legislative time, which after all, in this state at least, the legislature meets once a year for 60 days. And so time is precious and time is limited and there is real stuff out there to do. Real problems. Real crises. Budgetary matters. It turned out that the governor's health and human resources, or DHHR or DHHS, I forget what we call it anymore. They've changed their names more times than Elizabeth Taylor. They had secret meetings in the last year, where they quietly went about the business of removing people who were on critical home health care from the Medicaid rolls. That is serious business, and that is something that has to be fixed. And frankly, the legislature should be up in arms over this kind of secretive government. But no, as sure as God made little green apples, and as sure as little green apples will give you a bellyache, there is always an opportunity for a politician to play to the lowest common denominator of the electorate. Because there is so much racism freighted inside this crappy piece of legislation that it's almost difficult to begin to address it. And the fact of the matter is, just as when a Klansman says, you know, some of my best friends are black. Just as when he says that, you know that no, none of your friends are black, and you sit around and you use that word and you make jokes in the quiet. Just as quick as you see a statement like, people have stretched it too far out of line. What it says is the official language of the state of West Virginia is English. No. And you have to protest. I'm not outlawing any other language. Show me the legislator who can outlaw another language. Dan's grip my ass. German. And what's more, the records in the record room, where the deeds and the wills and the liens and the deeds of trust and all the other documents that establish the traditional Western Anglo-American property rights are kept. Those are in some form of English. The older the deed, the better the English. Wonder why it works out that way. And I don't care what language you speak, you do not have a legal right to walk into the county clerk's office, into the record room, and say, looky, I speak Sanskrit. I'm working with it. Don't blame me. I'm working with his example. And expect to have a legal right to have the deed translated for you by the taxpayer. It doesn't work that way. Now, on the other hand, ballots, if you really believe that the electoral process is the very heart and the soul and the foundation and the basis of everything that is this representative Republican democracy, if you believe that the ballot is that sacred and that important, then what does it say about you when you want to exclude people who have a legal right to vote by not offering them a ballot in a language that they can understand? So, you know, before you sit there and go, ha ha ha, stupid West Virginian, I can assure you that the next time your legislature meets in your state, in almost any state outside of most of New England, some goober will introduce a bill similar to this. There are right-wing foundations that exist for no other purpose than fostering this English as the official language crap. You know, I'll get on board with English as the official language of West Virginia as soon as every single citizen of West Virginia can diagram a sentence that's more than 12 words long. You know what? I couldn't do that. The generation that was taught to do that by the generation that went before it and did the teaching on how to do that is gone. My lovely wife brought me a book. She knows that I love books, and 9 times out of 10 she will give me a book as a gift, and I just cherish that. She brought me a used book that had belonged to an unmarried school teacher who was an institution in our area. And, you know, the beauty of old books is that school teachers put notes from old students in old books. And I pulled a card out as I was reading this book, and it was a note to the teacher from the former pupil 50 years gone by. And it was a wish for a happy birthday. And that wish for a happy birthday was written out completely with all the little brackets and sub-brackets for the clauses and sub-clauses and dependent clauses and independent clauses and prepositional phrases and adverbial phrases and the verbs and the predicates and the subjects. And it was all labeled and diagrammed to absolute perfection. And in a way, I felt like I was holding the Rosetta Stone, because it really was a key to understanding a fairly complex language, which is English. We can't do that anymore, because there's not a diagramming section on the Sat Cat West 9, 10, 12, what the heck ever. We can't do it anymore. But because certain people are terrified that people who eat different, talk different, look different, walk different, work different might someday wind up being citizens of this state and wanting to cast a ballot, well, then we've got to take advance measures to make sure that that person will never see a ballot in a language that they can understand. Because, you see, English as the official language isn't about official languages. It's about official citizenship. It's about creating a second tier of citizenship. Yeah, sunshine, that's exactly what it is. Because, you know, okay, well, you can be a citizen. Maybe you can have amnesty. Maybe you can pay taxes. Maybe you can pay into Social Security. Maybe you can do all of those things. But me no habla español, and neither do the ballot. So you just be a good citizen, and don't harbor any hopes of participating in this form of government. We don't want you.
We want your labor. We don't want your thought. And we damn sure don't want your input. You damn Sanskrit speaker, you. Embarrasses the hell out of me. This is the Head On Radio Network. We'll take calls when we get back. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee voted today to oppose the troop surge in Iraq. Republican Senator Chuck Hagel joined 11 Democrats in voting for the non-binding measure. At least 7 other Republican senators say they now support proposals that object to the plan to send 21,500 more U.S. troops to Iraq. The full Senate is expected to debate the measure next week. President Bush's State of the Union address last night included a plea to the Democratic Congress to give his new plan for Iraq the time it needs to work. Former New York mayor and 2008 presidential hopeful Rudy Giuliani said on NBC's Today Show that he supports Mr. Bush's plan. In Washington today, Senator John Kerry announced he will not make another run for president. Instead, he'll seek another 6-year term in the Senate. Polls showed Kerry falling behind the 9 other hopefuls for the Democratic ticket. On Capitol Hill today, the Senate rejected a call to raise the minimum wage. However, not enough no votes were received to shut off debate on the issue completely. Next up for debate in the Senate is whether tax breaks for businesses should be attached to the wage hike. Also on Capitol Hill, a bipartisan group of senators is taking aim at the sweatshop industry. McClatchy Newspapers reports that the group introduced legislation that would allow companies in the U.S. to file a complaint to the FTC about competitors whose products are made in overseas sweatshops. If passed, the law would affect large U.S. retailers such as Walmart. In the Los Angeles area, federal lawmen have conducted one of the biggest illegal immigrant sweeps in history. Operation Return to Sender netted more than 760 people from 14 countries. In Iraq, more fighting broke out north of the Green Zone today. However, Iraqi and U.S. officials have reported different versions of the events. Iraqi officials say 30 suspected insurgents were killed and dozens others arrested. U.S. officials report only half a dozen arrests and no deaths. However, the U.S. military is reporting another U.S. soldier was killed today. Also, 2 Marines were killed yesterday in Anbar province. In Israel, President Moshe Katsav has announced he's taking a leave of absence. He's being charged with rape, sexual assault, and abuse of power, and Prime Minister Ehud Olmert is calling for his resignation. Katsav calls the charges, quote, poisonous, horrible lies. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friend's relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discovered that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
Scientists who collected samples of nearly 3,000 fish in rivers in 12 western states report they found mercury in all of them. They say that the levels are not high enough to endanger humans, but fish and wildlife that feed on the fish could be endangered. Taxpayers have until April 17th this year to file their taxes. That's because the usual day, April 15th, is a Sunday, and April 16th is a holiday in Washington, D.C. The World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland this week is focusing on climate change and troubles in the Middle East. 2,400 of the world's most wealthy and powerful people are attending. China says it will have the largest online population in the world within 2 years. The U.S. now holds that title with 210 of its 300 million people online. More and more Californians are defaulting on their mortgage loans. Default notices rose by 145% in the last quarter of 2006. Yahoo has posted better-than-expected quarterly profits, nearing $269 million. And Singular Wireless quadrupled its quarterly profits thanks to large holiday sales. The company reported revenues of nearly $10 billion. Light sweet crude settled today at $55.37. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was up 87 points at 12,621. NASDAQ up 35 points, S&P 500 up 12. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All righty, then. Let's do another hour. What do you say? And let's go straight to the phone. Ed is joining us from Fayette County, West Virginia. Hey, Ed, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing over there?
I'm doing all right. This is a marvelous facility, and my father's getting such wonderful care, and it's just I'm amazed and thrilled that we have a facility like this here.
Yeah, I understand that, and my wife is RN, and she's going to come over and put an application in there.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've met some fabulous, committed, caring people here. I think she'd fit right in.
Yeah, I know she will. She don't get to do what nurses ought to be doing, or she's working and dissatisfied with it, and it's a production-like line type of deal, so she's looking for change. But I called you to on two or three items, and of course for discussion or me being a commentator to them, either one, if you don't respond.
You go right ahead, Ed.
I was going to tell you, Jerry Wayne Bailey is in the same category as Shirley Love and David Perry and some of these other clowns that we got down there. That Shirley Love goes down and introduces a bill to make Route 16 a route that maybe 100 cars a day go over, named after Hank Williams, and he's not even from here. And in addition to that, you know, you get your hunting dog back if he goes on somebody else's land. Those are such priorities. And when, pardon me, when really they should be concerned. I gave you wrong figures the other night. This $5,000 raise that they are figuring on pushing through from themselves amounts to over $14 an hour. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay. Anyway, that amount, instead of mounting to $9 and something an hour, I was basing that on 3 months, but it's just 2 months. So that's over $14 an hour that they are arguing over and how to spread it out. They've even come back now, well, if we put it $500 a month, that don't look bad. But the time you add this up, it's still, a half $1 million just for the House of Representatives. So they've really got their priorities in line, don't they?
Well, it amazes me. It simply amazes me.
There are real problems in this state and every other state. You know, again, I think that's critical to remember here, Ed. We don't have a lock on stupidity in a legislature. I mean, after all, what was it last week? I talked about the Virginia legislator who stood up in their House of Delegates and told black people to get over slavery.
Well.
You know, so I mean, that's Virginia. You know, that's, well, you know, they're highfalutin, they're high and mighty, they're the Old Dominion. So, you know, I want to be careful about being too hard on my own home and native state. But at the same time, you got to point these things out. I mean, what purpose does that serve? I mean, it's a fraud. It's racism cloaked in saving the taxpayer money.
Well, it's. Racism down there is in the open. I listened to a program when I was in Hampton, Virginia, and this one person got on the radio and was arguing the point, said, well, if we give them $100,000, will they sign papers that they'll never come back? You know, in other words, let them go back to Africa, but don't come back.
Oh.
So, I mean, when you got that kind of logic, if you call that logic, when you got that kind of reasoning, what do you expect out of them? What do you expect out of them when they put somebody like George Allen in? But of course, because of the influx of jobs and stuff down there, they are getting a turnover of people to where they're putting somebody in like Webb and people like those. But I think the Democrats are still a joke. And of course, I are one, but this resolution against the war.
There's a reason, that, you know. Well, that's like last night during the speech. I don't know if you caught any of it, Ed.
I caught it all.
There has been a little bit of a tempest in a teapot started over the fact that Fox News said that he spoke the words Democratic Party, but he didn't. Of course, he said the Democrat Party.
Uh huh.
And that's a little slur that was started by the language manipulators, folks like. Newt Gingrich. But, you know, it's moments when I see bills like this that I am reminded that as a Democrat, the name of my party ends in Ick.
Yeah.
It is the Democrat Ick Party. And bills like this English-only thing, that's the Ick part of being a Democrat around here.
Yeah. Well, but we don't have a monopoly on ignorance. I mean, that's just, that's a few of them has got a hammerlock on ignorance. So we don't. The rest of us don't have to be ashamed of what people like Shirley Love and David Perry and Jerry Wayne Bailey and a few other ones that call themselves Democrats, but are really they know they have to run on the Democratic tickets to win. They've still got that Republican sign stapled into their back or their hind end one. But anyway, I called in Steve this morning. You know, he kept saying, you know, I can't stand it when he talks about, you know, insults the intelligence of the average West Virginian by saying, as long as they go in and punch that one ticket of being a Democrat, we ain't never going to get change. Well, he insinuates that we don't know that the Democrats, as what little we've got out of government, come from the Democratic Party. I asked him to name something that the Republicans had ever done. And then we got into it over Walmart. Well, they're the biggest employer of the state. You know, I'd like to told him, and I didn't think fast enough, but I liked him, yeah. I had a horse one time. I kept on working him. I thought I had him weaned, and he finally died. You know, in other words, you can work for nothing. If you want to, but.
Well, you know, but I love those people, Ed, who say, you know, if we don't quit voting Democratic, we're never going to have change. Well, you know what? There's a whole, this state is absolutely chock a block with people who, in the year 2000 and 2004, who are registered Democrats. I mean, it's 2/3 Democrat to 1/3 Republican in this state, Ed. And there's a whole bunch of people who have Democrat registrations who voted for George Bush, and you know what? They got change.
Yeah, oh, we sure did.
Yeah, be careful about wanting that change.
Yeah. I wonder how you spell that kind of change. But I just get so sick of these people taking up for Walmart and the kind of stuff that you've been talking to tonight about Jerry Wayne Bailey, and when they should be concerned over stopping this $5,000 raise, and they're some of the very ones that's against the minimum wage. But yet they'll vote themselves double of what the minimum wage is for us.
Well, you know, we can fix that wage increase bill. That thing could be amended in committee and tie that wage increase to an increase in the minimum wage in the state of West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Sad as it is to say, that would be the end of the wage increase bill, but it would also be the end of the minimum wage in West Virginia.
I'm going to talk to my friend. I called him, and he hasn't got back. I guess he had a meeting after hours tonight. But I'm going to call him and tell him that to attach, how would you word that?
You amend the bill.
Amend it to say that the minimum wage has to go up to 7.25 an hour. And, of course, Stevie Boy.
Well, you know, there's nothing that says that. I mean, there's states out there. I think Oregon's one of them. California's one of them. Minimum wage, and the state minimum wage out there is already much higher than any 7.25 an hour.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them passed bills higher than that before they ever brought this thing up.
Right.
But Steve asked me, he said, what do you think a fair wage is? I said, to where somebody can live in dignity. Don't have to worry about if we're going to be able to pay the water bill or take their kid to the doctor, you know, this type of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, but there is no reasoning with people like that. Somebody said, you leave them alone, ignorance will drown them. And they seem to have a monopoly on that. But anyway, I just thought I'd call and tell you that about Jerry Wayne Bailey and this stuff. And hey, Democrats are crooks, you know. Look at what's on. And I told him, you know what, no matter who a crook was, you could put him in Canada or in Texas, and the slime balls are always going to, they're like frog manure. They're going to rise to the top. And they're in both parties. And so that, but they always try to make it look like that the Democrats are the ones that he used that fella in down south that put the money in a deep freeze, you know, as
Jefferson.
Yeah. But anyway, Bob, I won't take any more of your time. I let other people that's got something important to say. But I just wanted to tell you the kind of representatives and the people over in Summers County or wherever that clown is from should wake up and get rid of him.
Well, I just didn't know there were so many Sanskrit speakers in Wyoming County.
Yeah, well, I didn't either.
I didn't know there was that many Sanskrit speakers in the United States.
Yeah.
Or the world, for that matter.
Yeah, most of us are like I am. We have enough trouble with the English language, let alone dealing with other languages, don't
it? I wrestle with it for 3 hours a night every night, Ed.
Yeah, right. Okay, Bob, thank you for your time. And I
thank you,
Ed. I want to tell you that Agnes done a very good job last night.
I know she did. I know she did. She's been waiting for her breakout moment for a while now.
Okay, well, listen, I'll talk to you later.
All right, take care, Ed.
All right, you too.
Later. And let's keep rolling along. Peter calling from Tallahassee, Florida. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program. This will happen in a minute. Okay. Luke is calling. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. Well, like I say, let's put it this way. After last night, I stuck my head in the porcelain orifice for a while after listening to the Bush, but you know how that is.
I know, indeed.
Now, I've been listening to a few things on this thing, and it's from last night. What was it? The increase in the oil reserves. I heard Tom Hartman today say, yeah, you know why he's doing that? Said he's planning to attack Iran. Said he wants to make sure they've got plenty of oil backed up before they start doing it.
Well, sure. And but the other thing about that, Luke, is that every time we've asked for him to release some of the strategic reserves, when prices got out of hand, I couldn't do that.
Well, they were talking about the fact that, you know, just when he was talking about that, that Cheney got this big old smile on his face because he knows all that money's going to his friends in the oil companies.
Well, I'm not at all surprised. Of course, Big Time Dick was on CNN today saying that there had been blunders in Iraq was hogwash.
I know. Well, I mean, he still tells you there's WMDs. You know what I mean? He still tells swears are still out there. It's like, oh, you know how it is. It's sort of like, Dick, have you been in for that 50,000-mile checkup? You know. I think they need to put you up on the rack and check that paper.
I think you've blown a fuse there, Herman.
You step too close to the microwave again? What?
That's the other thing. I have noticed on a couple of occasions today, different networks even. Have you caught this, Luke? They've begun to refer to it as the Bush-Cheney administration?
Well, you know how it is. Like I say, we've always thought it should be the other way around.
Since when do you... I don't even remember the Clinton-Gore administration.
Well, you know how it is.
Or the Nixon-Agnew administration. God knows, not the Carter-Mondale administration.
But you know how it is, as I say, with them. I mean, a man who was sent out to find a vice president and named himself. I mean, you know, you just have to start with there and go, well, you can't get much lower than that. But he did. Well, he did. Oh, the fun thing that some of them, and I'm sure tonight I'm just going to enjoy, John Stewart tonight, is get to sit there and probably watch for half a minute, but sit there and get to watch McCain sleep. You know?
Oh, wasn't that just precious?
Well, either that or the look on Condi's face. It's like, Condi, well, she's, you been eating lemons again?
Luke, that is one mean woman.
But the thing is, you got to sit there and go, you've got probably the biggest audience you're going to have watching you. You smile the whole night. I don't care if somebody just you know, cut one of your toes off, you know.
Keep smiling.
Because you don't know where that camera is. You just have to assume it's on you the whole dang time.
Oh, she looked like she was so mad. She looked like she was late for a shoe sale.
Oh, God, I tell you what. The one that I loved was they were talking about, you know, said, yeah, it's nice they've talked about energy independence. Said, what is that now, 6 years in a row? Wonder when he's ever going to do anything about it.
That would be not.
They said the thing is that you know, he's getting credit for it. Somebody said, yeah, but he's done it every year. He's talked about energy independence and then does nothing. Said last year, heck, he cut the research funds right afterwards. You know, oh, God.
Well, yeah, the energy independence, and he cut the funding for windmills. Yeah, we know a little bit about windmills. Getting screwed on windmills up here.
The whole thing cut it like what, about 50% right after that happened. Oh God, I tell you what. Oh, you're talking about Fox, the noise machine. I think that's what Olbermann's calling it now, the Fox Noise Channel. This thing with Obama and the madrasa, and then they blamed and said, well, of course it was coming from the Clinton camp, and it's like, I'm sorry. I have, I don't know which
it
way I'm
it came from the Mooney Organization.
I know. But the thing that gets to me is you're sitting there going, look, I don't know whatever way you feel about Hillary, that's fine. She's got more brains. It's like it would not be coming out on Fox. You know, it would be coming out some very obscure place if it was them doing it.
Oh, but I heard, you know, I heard the whole Rush Limbaugh orgy about it, because, you know, everything, Hillary Clinton will have them killed.
It's more like, Rush, if that's the case right now, you'd be sitting with Mr. Hoffa somewhere, you know?
Yeah, but there's that, and then they turned around to this other little thing that's out there. I mean, this is just pathetic. They can't talk about issues anymore, Luke. They can't talk about things that matter to America. Now they're just out there making crap up. And the funny thing is, Glenn Beck goes along with all of it. CNN busts them on it, but never mentions that Glenn Beck's doing it, too.
I saw the thing over at Media Matters. They said, yeah, isn't it amazing? Howard Kurtz goes on and rips Fox, which, I mean, that's fine. He has that right to rip Fox. But it's like, oh, by the way, we don't mention the fellow on our channels who was doing the same thing. You know, but like I say, he's always
right, or even referring to him as
the right winger.
ABC's Good Morning America commentator Glenn Beck did it too.
That's it's like.
I'm sure it was just something rebelling against the fact I was on hold. You know, last night, I didn't know Agnes did a show. You know, at the end of John's show, we were talking about, you know, the there was no DSL connection up there at the location there at the hospice, and you know, it never occurred to me that Agnes was going to do a show. And you know, a lot of times I would have listened to the replay, but you know, last night the whole Bush thing was going on, and so I was, you know, looking for something live, and so here I was sitting listening to some Peter Werby substitute host, and I had no idea Agnes was on the air.
You missed her debut?
I did. I'll be
honest. Or as we say around here, debut.
It's terrible. I'm going to have to white rose it for sure. I didn't catch on to till the very end of the show, and everybody was going, "Way to go, Agnes!" Yeah, I'm like, "What are you talking about?" I was in chat at the time, of course. Yeah.
Oh, ye of little faith.
That one got right past me. And, you know, I was going to tell you a story.
Okay.
All the things that you're going through right now that might make you feel a little better. You know, when my mom died, I was in jail. And,
I can't imagine.
Big secret about, you know, having had some legal problems. I was a crackhead for many years and went through a lot of stuff. And that's not a secret, and I don't mind telling it. But, yes, I was in jail, and the judge arranged a one-day release for me to go to the funeral. Now, normally what you have to do is you have to pay a deputy, you know, like an off-duty deputy. You have to pay them to escort you to the funeral, and you go in handcuffs. You can wear, you know, like street clothes or a suit or whatever, but you go in handcuffs, and you stand with the deputy and the whole thing, and they take you straight back to jail. Which I was able to avoid that, though. I have a brother-in-law who's with the Tallahassee Police Department, so brother-in-law checked me out, and I didn't have to do that. But you know, went to the funeral, and you know, it was just really hard finding that out, you know, where I was, and to top it all off, after the day was over, and you know, I got checked back into the Leon County lockup. But damned if they didn't give me a full body search, a full bend over, spread your cheeks routine.
No.
Unbelievable. And, you know, all the people that checked me back in at the sheriff's department, and this is separate from police department, brother-in-law had nothing to do with it, you know, they all knew I'd been to my mother's funeral. And, you know, and it was obviously it was done as a humiliation thing or just a, you know, let's kick him one more time while he's down. You know, these things never come up at a good time, do they?
No, they don't.
No,
they don't. And it seems like somewhere along the process, although I certainly can't compare anything with that, there's somewhere in the process, there's always some level of dehumanization. Either for the victim, the bereaved, the family, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody goes. It affects the whole family, and you know we're all proud of you that you're doing a show from the hospice, and I just think that's real brave, and you know this is the Head On Radio Network, and so you know I just thought you know we might as well talk about it a little bit, not you personally, that's part of your experience, but I was wanted to talk a little bit about death, and I've been through it with both my father and my mother, and getting into the Bible, it talks about two kinds of death, and one kind of death is the death of the body, and Jacob called that the grave. It means, of course, physical death, and the other kind of death spoken about in the Bible is the death of the spirit, and Jacob called that spiritual death, or he called it hell. And without getting into all the things that the fundies hang on the word hell, let's just use it as just leave it at that one word without going into all that. But the physical death and the death of the spirit, and it's interesting that it goes on to say let's see, where is it? I think it's in Timothy that some people are dead while they're still liveth, or while their spirit, their physical body is still alive, and that what is the death of the spirit is when we're separated from righteousness, and you have to ask, well, what is righteousness? And it's just to be alienated from the things of God, and we talk about this in the show. The things of God are like whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, everything the Republicans don't believe in.
Right.
Right. And, you know, you can, I don't know your father, but I know you pretty well, and I love you to death. I love Agnes, too. And, you know, the fruit doesn't fall too far from the tree. And knowing tells me a lot about your father.
And oh, he's a nut.
I know that, you know, all families have, you know, like with my mom and dad, you know, there's always, you know, families fight and families don't get along for this, that, the other reason. And, you know, there's always all these reasons why everything's caca. But, you know, your father is not at all separated from the truth and the light. I honestly believe, you know, people talk about the spirit. Okay, like, where is the spirit? There's no place in the body for the spirit. And so where is it if there's a spirit? But, you know, people make a mistake. Sometimes people say that the human body is almost 100% water. Well, that's absolutely not true. What the human body is almost absolutely 100% nothing there. It's empty space. You know, the only reason anything appears solid, like the table that you're sitting at, is because the electrons are spinning around the nuclei so fast that it gives the illusion of solidity. It's like a television screen being scanned. There's no image there. It's just
no. You are running off into philosophical fields that I guarantee you have not been entered into on any other talk or conversation radio program, and it just kind of makes me proud for what we do here. You know,
I love this show. I do, and the chat room is marvelous. I got into the chat room this evening, and the first thing one of the guys did was started singing show tunes, and I was like, "In chat heaven, you know, I got to tell you." But you know, it's an illusion.
Spread in the news. No,
solidity is illusion. We are almost 100% empty space. We have the illusion of solidity. So where is the spirit? Hell, we're mostly empty space. There's plenty of room for a spirit. Good Lord.
Right.
Where's
the spirit? Where's the us?
The us?
Yeah, the us. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at my hand, I'm looking at my mixing board, I'm looking at a microphone, and there's more not there than there is there.
All right, it's an illusion, Bob. I think what we're stuck with, reality is really it's an illusion, and it's one we cannot get out of. The only way out of it is death. But it's so there's plenty of room. The spirit, when it says the spirit walks among us, well, I'd have no problem with that. Hell, it's all empty space anyway. It's not at all solid. You know?
Well, and that applies all the way out to a universal level, if I understand my theoretical physics correctly, Peter. My heavenly days, there's a whole lot more negative space or empty space or anti-space, I forget what it's being called these days, than there are planets or suns or rocks or anything else.
Absolutely. Yep. The universe mimics in the large what we see in the extreme, in the micro, in the extremely small. It's all empty space.
that's the opportunity that we're given. We get a chance in this life to try to figure it out. As you know, and we, you know, what did Saint Paul say? We see through a glass darkly. Now we know what I think of Saint Paul, but he did have a he could write a catchy tune from time to time. We do. We see through a glass darkly. You know, we stumble around in the dark. We're the two blind guys trying to describe an elephant. One's got an ear and one's got a tail.
Well, yeah, that's true. And you know,
I don't. You know, for people to say nope, can't be, just isn't, can't be, no. I'm not, you know, I kind of come down in Hamlet's camp, Peter. There are more things in heaven and earth than dreamt of, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy.
Absolutely. And the problem with what's happening in the current religious sphere is it's all paperback book religion. You know, years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, people read these 200-300 page volumes of deep religious thought and study.
These were the same people who knew how to diagram sentences.
Exactly. Now we've got these people that are all insisting that God is with you, choosing a new pocketbook, and God is going to help you find a parking space. This convenient, internet sort of, instant gratification
you know, I'm not trying to, you know, say that God doesn't.
No, no, the dude in the end zone, I just want to give all the glory for that touchdown to God. But you know what? The fumble wasn't his fault.
Right. And, you know, I guess what I'm engaging in is, honestly, I don't, it makes no difference to me whether a person believes in God or not, or thinks what I'm saying is ridiculous or not. You know, we all have to work out our own salvation, and I'm just speaking for me. And but I love you guys, and I know how horrible this is. Loss is just it's worse than a sock in the face. It's a deep loss. And you know, I know it hasn't happened yet, but I know it's on your mind, and it's on all the listeners' minds. And we just, Bob, we love you so much. And we love Agnes too, and I'm just here to tell you that I've been through it with two parents, and you love your father. Do you think God loves him and he left? Of course not.
Well, exactly.
And these people are
however, you brought the, this is what you're so good at, Peter. You brought the show full circle.
Well,
we started out with this goober who gave us a Hebrew grammar lesson to prove to us that God has a zipper.
What? Agnes must have had me on, had, we must have been doing an Agnes and Peter thing on hold at the time.
The letter to the editor from the Backley paper that we started out the program where he says, you know, God is obviously a boy.
Yes, oh, that. Yes, I remember that. Yes, that was the beginning.
And we come back around to that. Does it matter?
Oh,
I mean,
of course it does.
I mean, what if God wears stunning cocktail frocks?
Well, you know, according to the scripture, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. We cannot possibly comprehend the mind of God. We're a subset of it. How is the subset ever going to appreciate the
well, do red corpuscles comprehend Van Gogh?
Well, this is true, and so that means we're part of the mind of Christ. And Agnes, and I was so proud of Agnes. She played, what if God was one of us? Well, damn it, he is. Praise Jesus. He is one.
Oh,
of all.
It's time to get out the Robert A. Heinlein "Stranger in a Strange Land." Thou art God, you know.
But you're just not alone in all this, Bob. I know you've got your family, but you've got us too, and you know, we all know what's going on.
I can't begin to express how humbling it is to know that.
Well,
and I do know that, Peter. And
we all kind of dance around it, but you know, I just stumble in where angels fear to tread. You know how I am. I don't say anything, but I felt like I needed to just acknowledge that to you.
Well, I appreciate it. It's, you know, it's difficult. It is painful. It is frightening. I forget who said it, but I read somewhere that some genius who said you're never really a man until you lose your father.
Well,
and it's that had a degree of truth or a ring of truth about it. I got called Mister out in the common room a little bit ago, and I looked at the staff member, these wonderful, wonderful people. I said, I'm not Mr., just Bob. Mister's in the bed in there.
Well, how wonderful it is that your father is spending his last time among people who are not having conversations like, well, I wonder if he's going to go to hell. You know, he's going to have to face judgment. I mean, what a blessing the poor man could be trapped in the family of hell.
Well, you know, I talked to some of the folks here, and I'm very sincere in this. I don't have a lot of time, but when this is all said and done, I'm gonna remember these people, and I'm gonna come back, and they need volunteers, and they need all the help they can get. And you know what? If there's anything I can do to help them, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
Because this is available. And, you know, very few people know it even exists.
Yeah. The pastor of our church is a counselor, chaplain at one of the hospices here in Tallahassee. And he's a very, very kind man. Where the rubber meets the road, where people are facing this, they don't do this right-wing Christian babble. It's far more personal, and it's real. And when it gets real, all the BS about you're a sinner and you're going to go to hell, that stuff just goes out the window. That gets flushed right along with the toilet paper.
Absolutely. Because it becomes so readily apparent by that point that it is caca.
It's caca. And you're seeing it up close and personal. It's caca, Bob! What are these bastards thinking? How dare they speak for God? And I'm speaking for me, honey. I'm not speaking for God. I'm just telling you my personal experience. You couldn't pry it out of me. I mean,
you may rush in, but you're not rushing that far yet.
These are not negotiable things for me. I've lived them, and I feel them. Some things you just know are true. You don't have to. Yeah, you just know they're true.
But they are in the word. They are self-evident.
And so I
thank you so
you
much, Peter. You know, your words mean so much, and you're so precious a part of everything that we do here.
And I love Agda. She is the only person I know that is more bizarre than myself. I treasure that little woman.
You know, sometime I'll email you or something. I'll tell you the story of the same night that we were flipping around the channels and we saw, you know, Future War. Well, when we got disgusted watching, you know, people being described, look what the shrapnel would have done to him, we changed channels and suddenly we were confronted with Air Supply 20 years later.
Huh?
You know, the band?
Yes.
And I'm not sure which was worse, Future War or Air Supply 25 years later. Hi, we're Air Supply. We were really big in the 80s. Now we've been paid off by Time Life to sit here and hawk off a new collection to you that's only $19.95 for the next 6 months.
How pitiful.
It's called Soft Rock Hits of the 80s.
How pitiful.
It was painful. And Agnes were just and I were just sitting there, clutched in paroxysms of laughter. Hi, I'm from Air Supply, and you know what? That jug that looks like lemonade, if it's got anything, if it's got more than that slice of lemon in it, I'm raising hell because I'm not getting paid enough to sit here sober.
Oh Lord, have mercy.
Oh, it was just and all these bad songs that you hated then.
Yeah, that's the ultimate.
It hasn't gotten any better.
It's the ultimate. DJ said, I mean, like, you know, pop radio DJs, the ones that, you know, just play what's on the list, you know what I mean? They keep playing stuff that, hell, you wouldn't want to listen to twice when it was new.
Right, you know, Air Supply singing, I'm all out of talent, or love, or whatever the heck it was they were out of.
Right, they were out of something.
And us singing, you know, we were making up lyrics as we went along. And the most beautiful thing out of it all is then we finally, you know, we knocked off, we went to sleep, and we woke up the next morning. I looked at her, and she said, you know, I just feel better this morning. I said, you know why? She said, why? I said, because we fell asleep laughing.
Oh, what a blessing that is.
And if you can end the day laughing insanely, you will start the next one 100% better. Oh, dear God, I've turned into Fraser Crane.
Yeah, you have a little bit. Can I be
listening? Hello, Seattle, I'm listening. Oh, dear.
Oh, God. Well, you know, hang in there, Bob. It doesn't get any easier for a while, but there's closure. Closure happens.
Yeah, and it actually gets decidedly more difficult here in a little bit. But, you know, there's another one of those cool moments going on right now. My beloved Mountaineers, his beloved Mountaineers, are playing Marshall in basketball right now. So as soon as the show's over, I go back and we watch a basketball game together. You know what? Every one of these that we can watch, I treasure.
He's awake now to see the show then?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You had said earlier that he might rouse up to watch that.
Well, I checked during the third hour news break and... yeah, he was awake and he was watching.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah, that's a good thing.
I'm so glad. What a network, dude. What a network. What a thing thou hast wrought.
It is. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, Mark in D.C. and today Guy's in D.C. and John's in Australia and I'm sitting here and we made it all happen. And you know, Jeff Wolf's out in Arizona and... we've had Dr. Bill, and we got Joe Vecchio, and you know,
yeah,
it's mind-boggling just to contemplate.
Yeah, we are the liberal network, dude. What? We're not the other one. We are the liberal network.
No, we're the only. Well, no, yeah, we're it.
We are it. And these people that talk about the liberal media, honey, if they ever heard this show, they'd know what the liberal media was. All right.
Well, you know, D. James Kennedy down at Coral Snake Ministries had a terrible heart attack a few months back, and or a few weeks back, or somehow around Christmas. I'm convinced it's because he read an email from mine of mine that had a link to the horn in it, and he heard it and he spontaneously combusted.
Yeah.
Oh, that was wicked of me.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm all for it. Let's all start doing that. I've noticed that ELO from our chat room has started putting the link to the show in the stream at the end of her emails. I think that's a great idea. I think
it is. I do that as well, but I did that because I saw her doing it. I'm a terrible copycat.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I haven't done it yet, but I'm seriously considering it. I mean, it's not like people don't know I'm a liberal.
But, you know, that's the thing. Maybe we need to start a campaign. Have you told a wingnut about the horn today?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I made little cards and just hand them out to suspenders and geezer.
Hello, I'm a liberal.
Yeah, shoot me.
Peter, have yourself a wonderful evening. Thank you so much.
You too. I'm Steve-O. Good night.
Bye. Well, we managed to make it work with only a couple of little glitches. I'm sorry I lost Luke along the way. But thank you all for joining in playing and participating in whatever manner you chose to do so. It's always good to get your emails, your phone calls, your well wishes and your good thoughts. And, you know, there's still stuff we need to go over, and maybe it happens. I hope it happens tomorrow evening, because we'll be right back here. Paul, we got, you know what happened to the minimum wage in the Senate today. I'm sorry, you can't give working poor a $2 an hour raise unless you give great big honking tax cuts out. It just pisses me off, and I'm not going to get started because I don't have enough time. We got ray guns. We got, oh, Lordy. We got the Fairness Doctrine. We got to talk about the Fairness Doctrine. So let's do that tomorrow evening. What do you say? The show tonight, of course, was produced by my darling, lovely, talented wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor and engineered by John Fox in Sydney, Australia. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams, the archives, and the podcasts of all the programming on the horn, and he does it without ever sending you a bill. You've got a fundraiser going on. Now's the time to do the right thing, early and often. All the programs on the horn come to you because of the dedicated commitment and the hard work of the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. Get up every day, they go out, they build the American dream, and by supporting this network, they're helping to save the American dream. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida, maintains all of our IT issues. And last and never, never least, always, 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 RMR. It's a-
Listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Bush ready State of the Union speech. Bush poll ratings before the speech fall to Nixon's levels. Millions could see taxes up in a Bush health plan. Democrats frame State of the Union response. Republican opposition to Iraq plan grows. McCain bashes Cheney over Iraq policy. Cheney and media to take stand in Libby perjury case. View of U.S.'s global role? Worse. Iran guards start war game to test missiles. Chavez to U.S. officials, go to hell. For the Clinton candidacy, a soft launch. Bill says how he'll support Hillary's run. Al Gore thrilled by Oscar nominations. Clinton's camp fires first salvo against other running people, other politicians running for the presidency. North Korea talks could resume in February, says Russia. U.S. tries to interpret China's silence over test. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.